Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite with the very shy Eric Burns. Hey, buddy, thanks again for joining us.
I didn't mean to put Mr. B on the spot there. I was just a question
sure
that
you
I
did.
Had because, like I said, because they released me, I went out into the free agent market, and I ended up making more in the free agent market than I would have made through the arbitration process. So what I didn't understand is
they lost an opportunity.
By the Orioles. Yeah, it was a bad business move by the Orioles because they at least could have gotten a bag of rosin or a box of baseballs for me.
Well, that's why they should have held on to our buddy Jim Beattie, because they have not exactly made a lot of great moves in the last year. And it is kind of, do you ever think of yourself as the general manager and making those moves? It just seems like some teams are much more in touch. That's what we talk about on the show all the time, is some teams seem much more in touch with the players and what's going on inside, and the guys that are dependable, the guys that have work ethic, the guys that are loyal, the guys that are going to produce, you know, and other teams just seem to make it like a business, and they have that distance, and they miss out on the intuition. They miss out on, you know, the personal touch that usually is the difference between putting together a team that wins and a team that's just a bunch of names, you know, on a lineup.
I agree with that, Nick. I mean, it's like some teams are just looking for lightning in a bottle, and unfortunately, I didn't deliver lightning in a bottle to the Orioles, and you know, it was a short time. It was 2 months I was there, but in the 2 months I was there, that was they had seen enough, and that's fine. That's part of the business. As a player, our job is to produce. I didn't produce. If you ask, you know, anyone in Baltimore, they might say, "Hey, look, I'm glad we didn't bring that guy." And you know what? Hey, it worked out for the better for me. And, I went on. I'm with the Diamondbacks now, and I really enjoyed my time here this past season. And, everything happens for a reason. That was just a business move for me that didn't make sense. And you're right. There's a lot of teams that are, really in touch with what goes on. And I went for an organization like the Oakland A's, who I would say they were, you know, really, really in touch with what was going on when it came to their players and everything. To, you know, maybe a couple organizations, I'd say probably didn't have that same feel.
Well, let's talk about teams that are in the World Series that both managers highly respected as well in this matchup. Chris Carpenter coming off a poor last game, and Nate Robertson, who hasn't pitched in 2 weeks, but 2 weeks ago he shut out Oakland for five innings. Who are you giving the edge to? I mean, most people obviously would say in St. Louis, Carpenter's the guy. I think he had a 1.81 earned run average this year in St. Louis. What is St. Louis thinking after that interesting game with Kenny Rogers, that controversial performance?
Nick, they're saying they have the race on the mound. This is a big game for them. This is by no means a must-win game, but you have your ace on the mound, and you want to win this game, and you're at home. You got them for three games at home. They'd like that. If I'm St. Louis right now, I'm thinking about a sweep. That's what I'm going for. I mean a sweep at home, and I don't want to see this thing go back to Detroit. Detroit's not a great place to play right now. It's freezing cold. The fans in the city are behind the Tigers as probably as much as they ever have been in the history of the Tigers organization. It's a great atmosphere out there. And if I'm St. Louis, I don't want to see Game 6 back in Detroit, and I sure as heck don't want to see Game 7.
Well, let's go to the catalyst for St. Louis in Pujols. Even with his hamstring being an issue, the bottom line is they're not going to pitch to him if nobody's on base. So don't you think really the pressure is on those early guys in the lineup to give him something to work with, to force Detroit to pay him some respect and give him some balls to hit?
No, I think the most important thing, Nick, is the guys sitting behind him. I think how is Jim Edmonds swinging the bat? How is Scott Rowland swinging the bat? You know, these guys are... Both of them are starting to pick it up a little bit. They're both looking good. So I think regardless, they're going to put Pujols on. If there's guys on or there's guys not on, there's guys at first and second. I'd probably be more careful with Pujols than if there was nobody on, obviously. So I'd have no problem loading up the bases to face Edmonds or Rowland. So I think the bottom line is going to be what happens to those two guys when you're facing a left-handed pitcher. Say if they're facing Nate Robertson, it's going to be Rowland who's going to be hitting behind Pujols, and then if you're facing a right-handed pitcher, it's going to be Edmonds hitting behind him. So the bottom line is which one of those two is going to be is going to step up and help St. Louis win that series.
Yeah, the hat's definitely on Rowland. We got a caller from where's he from? From St. Louis, John. You got a question for Eric Burns? Go ahead, my friend.
What's going on, buddy? Hey, this is going out to Kenny. Kenny, you can't hide no more, son. Trying to put the pine tar on your hand. They're coming to St. Louis tonight, and we're going to fucking stomp them. Stomp them. That's what I'm sending a shout out.
All right, is that a question?
No, the question, I don't really have a question. I just want to call them and tell them we're going to fucking stomp these dudes.
All righty. That's great. Well, we're going to, we'd like to, the effective way of expressing yourself, my friend John, and I'm sure St. Louis feels a lot more confident back there. It's going to be a little bit warmer. One of the things that people say, the pitchers say, by the way, is if you're a pitcher and you're Kenny Rogers and you're 41 years of age, when it's cold like that, that rosin bag doesn't help. You've got to go with something like pine tar. You're looking for something that's going to give you a little bit more of a grip when it's 35-degree or 30-degree wind chill.
I don't blame Kenny Rogers for putting something on his head. I don't blame him for looking for that better grip. I don't even think it probably be, you know, affected the game that much. If you want to talk technicalities, though, you got to look at this. It's the rules of the game state that you can't have any foreign substance out there. And if you do, it's immediate ejection and the 10-game suspension. So if you look at it that way, the bottom line is I don't care how cold it is out there, you're not allowed to have it.
Well, we're joined by somebody. I thought you'd have some fun by doing some of the crossbreeding we do in the sports. And Solomon Wilcots, one of the best young talents covering sports, joins us from the NFL Network, from CBS. Solomon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you doing today?
Hey, you know what? I just love this stuff. I mean, they came down hard on the kickers for supposedly doctoring the balls a few years ago. Then Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, essentially the best pitchers, if you will, in the NFL. They got a rule change where all the other poor little quarterbacks that can't hold on to the ball, and so suddenly they can rub down the balls there. And so now you've got Kenny Rogers. I mean, it just seems like everybody's trying to rub down those little balls, aren't they?
Hey, man, you know how it is. Every little bit you can do to get a little bit of an edge. I think at the end of the day, though, Kenny Rogers, he's just pitching lights out. I mean, he's doing his thing. And so, you know, whether or not there's some little substance or whatever, I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, people are trying to figure out how did he find this fountain of youth and how did he miraculously regain his ability to throw strikes. But at the end of the day, the guy is pitching lights out and he's playing very well.
Hey, Bernsey, we didn't give you a chance to give your pick for tonight. I mean, you think for sure that St. Louis is going to take it out three in a row in St. Louis?
No, I don't think St. Louis is going to take three in a row at all. I think tonight is St. Louis's night, though. If you ask me to pick this game tonight, I think the Tigers are going to win this series. But I think tonight this is St. Louis's game tonight, and this is when the one that they need to win. This is one that they should win. So you got their ace on the mound and Chris Carpenter, and you know it's up to him to go out there and be the Cy Young pitcher that he is.
Final question before he lets you go, and we appreciate it. Maybe you can come on later in the week and give us one last input on the series. But both managers are hands-on. Both managers are great tacticians and strategists, and they give the lie to the idea that it's just a crapshoot. There's a lot of strategy involved, a lot of intuition, a lot of homework as well. Who would be your manager? I'm putting you on the spot. Jim Leland's a great manager. Everybody loves him for a younger team, more experienced team. Tony La Russa has been around for a long time as well. Who do you think has the edge there in strategy?
Well, I don't think really anyone. I mean, you know, they're just two different types of managers. I think they both fit very well within the framework of their teams. You know, as much as the manager's coming to play, Tony seems like he's probably a little more hands-on when it comes to doing the on-the-field things, and I think Jim Leland's a little more hands-on when it comes to motivation and relationships with his guys. And you know, it's just pick whichever one you want. They're both two of the best managers in the game, and they have been for a long time.
All right, buddy. Well, we love seeing you on there on Fox Sports, and we look forward to having you. And maybe you can join us at the end of the week for a little bit of a recap on what's been happening.
I appreciate it, Nick. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks, brother. That's Eric Burns, the shy one, and Solomon, I'll tell you what, he gives a lot of fresh energy to covering baseball, which is exactly what it needs, isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, anytime you can make the game fun and help the viewers to understand the intricacies in terms of what goes on behind the scenes, I think it's always good stuff because fans always want to know a little bit more about the game than what they can see from just watching television.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about that Monday night game. Let's talk about the interesting and rather disturbing incidents of quarterbacks this past weekend having problems, and maybe a little bit of a recap on the interesting combination when you compare the offensive line performance of the Cardinals, a team that's heading in one direction, with Dallas, which still could go either way. When we come back, Solomon Wilcots and our good friend, in this case our Wednesday morning quarterback, Len Dawson, will join us on Head Games. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.